our last class for the year. And most probably we are going to continue Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu needs another year. I would suggest to you, we've really gone from chapter 35, and we may make our way through 35 through to 57, 58. That's 21, 22 chapters. That's not bad. That's not bad. But it's terribly important to just read it over and over again until you feel that you really know it. In chapter 57, Hatzadik Ovad, I just want to read today. Just sit back, let's relax. We're going to come to such beautiful psukim. Hatzadik Nun Zayin, 57. Hatzadik Ovad, the tzadik is lost, Veinish Somalei, and nobody pays attention. V'anshei Chesed Ne'esotim, men of great kindness are gathered in. Be'ein Nevin, and nobody truly understands, or no one is really interested in understanding. Ki mipnei ha-ro'o ne'esaf ha-tzadik, because of the evil that is about to befall the people, the tzadik is gathered in. He's talking about there are times at which great leaders of Israel pass from this world, and the loss of a great leader is something that should set us thinking. And the Navi is telling us it may very well be that the loss of the tzaddik, the loss of the great man of compassion and kindness, is because it is God's plan that he be spared what is going to befall the Jewish people. It means it has to sound an alert. The loss of a tzaddik has to, sort of a red light has to begin flashing, and we have to ask ourselves, why indeed did this happen just when we need him so badly? Yes? Well, I can only tell you Yeshayahu's side of the coin. I can't think of a pasuk that would express that side of the coin, that the Rabbein Shlomo needs somebody who's going to come up before the heavenly bar of justice. I don't know. So I don't know, well, probably there is some source either in Chassidut or in Kabbalah, but here Yeshayahu says it very clearly. It's a signal. It's a signal to us that there are things that are going to happen. And therefore, of course, it means therefore a signal to us that we have to mend our ways. Yavo Shalom. What God therefore wants is they die, and they may be dying before their time. Let him come in peace. Yonuchu al mishkivotam, they will rest upon their beds. Holech nechalchol, the one who goes in the right path, he should be spared. He should be spared what is going to happen to the people. And I think we had it in Torah. God did not bring the mabul until after the shiva for Metushelach. The Shelach was a tzaddik, and therefore he died, and the shiva was over, and then the mabul began. Mipnei hara, does not mean because of the evil. Before the ra'a, before the evil comes, the tzaddik is gathered in. Very good. As I said, that Avram died so that he should not see Esav, his enikul Esav, becoming Esav Harasha. Va'atem kirvu heina b'nei onena. Aten meaning you who remain after the tzaddik has been taken away. You who are b'nei onena, B'nei onena over here is from the word onain. Onain in Parashat Kedoshim means the one who engages in magic, in all sorts of voodoo. Va'atem kirvu hena b'nei onena. What the Navi is saying is sometimes, or quite often, people don't ask the right questions, don't see the truth of a particular situation, and they go off into all sorts of tangents. The tzaddik passes that we have to ask ourselves why. We have to try and understand it. And there may be others who will pay absolutely no attention to it because they're living in a completely different world time frame. So he says, Aten kirvu hena, you come close over here. And the kirvu hena means now is going to come the time of judgment against b'nei onena, the ones who the ones who are involved in magic, and he's going to explain what that means. Magic was was part of pagan and heathen practice. And there was something else that was basic and a fundamental part of all paganism. Zera mina'eif vatizneh. Zera mina'eif means a male who is engaged in all sorts of illicit relationships, vatizneh, and a female who is involved in all sorts of illicit relationships. We know that paganism and heathenism sort of clearly permitted, not only permitted, it made as part of their worship all sorts of sexual relationships. And I believe that's what the Gemara meant when the Gemara said, and our rabbis knew exactly what they were talking about, Lo avdu Yisrael avodah zarah elo kidei lahatir lahen arayot b'farhesia. The Gemara says that Israel worshipped idols only in order to permit illicit relationships in public. Now, it's very difficult to walk around believing in one God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then on the other hand going ahead and doing all sorts of prohibited things. And a person has a conscience, and a conscience can take the fun out of everything. So it's a difficult thing. But what happens if you're able to remove God from the equation? You're able to remove God from the equation. And not only that, in place of God, what you are going to bring in is a pagan and heathen deity who says that this licentious behavior, this is a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah. This is what you're supposed to do, which was all pagan cults did the same thing. All pagan cults were the same.
Al mitit anago.
From whom are you going to receive enjoyment? Rashi explains this to mean, if you have forsaken me, God, and you don't have me upon whom to lean, so upon whom are you going to lean? And we're going to see later that this is related to a pasuk that's going to come at the end of the next chapter. Oz tit anag hal Hashem. If we join with God, then our great joy and pleasure in life is going to come through Him. Oneg is going to be used to describe the man of faith. So here he says, Al mi tit anagu. It will become clearer when we get to that next pasuk. Al mi tit anagu. From whom are you going to receive the light? Al mi tarchivu pe, tarichu lashon. The Navi now is saying that the people opened up their mouths wide against the prophets. They taunted them. They made fun of them. They rejected them. Al mi tarchivu pe. Against whom are you going to open up your mouths wide? Tarichu lashon, your tongue is going to
extend out.
Hallo atem yilde fesha zera shaker. You are children of sin, zera shaker, seed that is false. These psukim are dealing with Jews who have rejected Judaism, have engaged in all sorts of pagan and heathen practices. Hanechamim ba'elim, those who warm themselves, in other words, sort of permitting the fire of passion to burn. Ba'elim, what tree? It's a tree, isn't it? They translated what? The terebinth. Yeah, I don't know what a terebinth is, but, you know, since I was a little kid, you know, Elone Mamre, the terebinth of... Does anybody know what a terebinth is? That's not what I want to know. Tell me whether it's an elm or a maple or a cypress or a pine.
I know somebody who knows.
I have a picture of it. Yeah, the picture of a terebinth. I know, somehow I feel it's someplace in the family of the oak. But I may be wrong. Tachat, yeah. So, Rivka, Torah, Meineket Rivka. So, you see, pagan practices were a deification of nature. And therefore, a lot of what they did took place in the outdoors, within the bosom of nature. Hanechamim ba'elim, those who heated themselves up with passion under the trees. Tachat kol eitz chanan, under every fresh tree. A fresh tree, a young fresh tree, represented life and all of its passion in a most negative way. Shochatei hayeladim v'nechalim, those who slaughtered children at the riverbeds or in the wadis, because they believed in human sacrifice. Tachat se'ifei hasleim, under the nicks of the rocks, out there in nature, that's where they did everything. V'chalkei nachal chelkeich, heim heim goralech. The chalkei nachal are the smooth stones of the river, or the streams. The chalkei nachal, those smooth stones, have become your portion. And Rashi explains, because ultimately you're going to be stoned with those rocks. Hein hein goralech. They are your destiny. Gam lahem shafachta nesech. To them you poured out libations. He'elita mincha. You brought the mincha sacrifice. Ha'al ele enachem. Am I going to change my mind when you do things of this sort? Some of the ugliest things that were done by nations of the world, unfortunately, were adopted by the Jewish people as well. We've always been a people of absolute darkness and light, side by side. We can have the most noble of individuals, but we can also possess the ugliest of all. The ugliest of all. I'm sorry, you know, last Friday, the great gay pride parade in Tel Aviv, you understand? Yes. This is what we have adopted from the nations of the world. So that when we're ugly, we're very ugly. When we are holy, we are very holy. And the two exist side by side. Al har gavar v'nisa upon a tall and a raised mountain, samt mishkaveich, there you placed your bed. You see, the interchangeable over here, whenever, either in Torah or in Nevi'im, whenever they talk about pagan practices, the metaphor that's always used is the metaphor for idolatry is adultery or illicit relationships. Because here we've entered into a relationship with God. When we reject Him, we betray Him and go off to cavort with other gods. This is idolatry that becomes adultery. So therefore, the metaphors are going to be moving from absolute heathen practices and illicit relationships. Our har gavor v'nis upon high and raised mountains, stam t'nishkovech, you placed your bed. Gam shomal itlis bar zavach, any place in nature. There also you went and you brought sacrifices. You brought sacrifices, you brought nesach, you brought mincha. V'achar habdelet v'hamezuzah, samt zichroneich. Behind the door and the mezuzah, there you placed your memory. Now, illicit relationships in terms of, yes, between man and woman is something that takes place behind closed doors, Rashi says, because he is using the metaphor of a woman who commits a sexual crime and there are people waiting outside her door, and she, you know, after one comes the next one, there you have placed your memory, your energies you've placed in there. Ki me'iti gilit. Because from me, it can either mean that you have removed yourself or you have revealed yourself. Removed your, and revealed yourself from me. Fatali. And you've left me. Hirchavt mishkavech. You spread out the place where you're going to lie down, that tichrotloch mehem, and you made a covenant with them, ahavt mishkavam, you liked lying down with them, yod chazit, yod, we said a number of times, means a place. There is a place that you saw fit to live with them. Now, there is a point that is going to come up here later. One that I've made through all the years that we've learned in Tanakh. When we talk about the Jewish people worshipping idols, forsaking God and worshipping idols, or the metaphor that's used of illicit relationships, there is always one other idea that invariably is going to be introduced. And that is whenever the Jewish people place their faith and trust in alliances with other powers, this was an act of adultery. This was an act of a betrayal of God. And the Nevi'im, the prophets, always spoke out against placing our faith and our trust and depending on any other people. They will ultimately betray us. They are not going to come to our aid and our assistance in the moment of crisis. And this is a form of both idolatry and adultery. There's no question about it that the relationship today, the relationship of the State of Israel with the United States of America is an adulterous relationship. Clinton will long be out of office. And Madeleine Albright will be old hat. All her hats will be old. When somebody's going to have to pay up on a treaty that was entered into, and it's going to be meaningless. Always, and this is throughout Tanakh, placing trust, or worse, faith. How many times have I quoted the of Soloveitchik once cried out in a share, remembering saying it. What was the mistake of the Jewish people during the course of the Second World War? Why, he said, didn't I run out the streets of Boston and cry out as Mordechai of old did in Shushan HaBira? Why didn't I cry at the top of my lungs, a terrible crime is being committed, what's the United States of America doing? So he says our sin was because we had faith in Franklin Delano Roosevelt. the most you can have in a human being is confidence. Never faith, not even trust. And whenever we place our faith or our trust in another human being, we were headed for disaster. Vatoshuri lamelar bashemen vatarbidi kuchayach. Whatever I've been saying has been an introduction to this pasuk. Vatoshuri lamelar bashemen. When I became your king, you were able to look upon me sort of with the oil of being anointed. Shemen also represents greatness. When I was your king, you were a people of greatness. And you had many cosmetics. In other words, we're talking about shemen, oils that have a beautiful scent. It means the whole air or the aroma of greatness came with me. Then you were able to send your ambassadors out all over the world. You were a mighty people. You were able to cast down your enemies into the grave. Drove darkeich yogat lo amart noash. But what happened was, in the many roads that you went, you toiled. The strange roads, your God, you became exhausted. Lo amart noash. You never gave up. Never gave up what? Never gave up the evil ways. Like, you never decided, like, this is not good. It's not good. Chayat yodeich motzot al tein lo cholit. Because chayat yodeich, the life that you needed with your hands, as long as it was successful, you never paid attention to the fact that, you know, when things are going well, you don't pay attention to the fact that you may be doing things that are terrible. At what moment does man all of a sudden begin to become serious about life? When you feel the weakness descending. Chayat yodeich motzot. Whatever your hand wanted, the strength, the life, you found. Al kein lo cholit. Therefore, you didn't feel. You didn't feel what was wrong. You didn't feel enough. It had to hit you over the head before you realized that all the things that you were doing were so bad. That me, Ba'ak, from whom were you worried, Batiri, or for whom you were frightened, were you frightened? Rashi says, that me, Ba'ak, minim mityareit, from whom were you frightened? Who were you worried about? Ki techazevi, when you dealt falsely with me. Nothing, you didn't have a worry in the world. And your problem was that Oti lo zachart, you didn't remember me. Lo samta libeit, you didn't pay attention to me. You didn't place me upon your heart. Halo ani machasheh umeolam. I am the one machasheh who silenced all who stood up against you. Umeolam, and I was always there for you. I'm the only one you can trust. I'm the only one you can depend on. I was always there. I've always been there for you. Voti lo tiroi. And me you don't fear. And how many times, Rashi also says, how many times was I silent? Though you had sinned against me, I was forgiving, I was forbearing, I was able to accept you. Ani agid tzidkotech. I will always tell you what is righteous for you. I'm always going to tell you that. Ve'et ma'asayich lo v'lo yo'iluch. And the things that you do, lo yo'iluch, will not help you.
Now, when I come to a word, the word Yogi Luch is one of the words that I consider key words. It is a word that immediately brings to me memory associations from a number of places in Tanakh. I'll just show you one right here in Yeshayahu, a chapter that I think every so often we keep coming back to that chapter. We haven't learned it yet, but chapter 30. Go back for a few minutes to chapter 30. Chapters 30 and 31 in Yeshayahu have one theme. The one theme is, don't place your faith in Mitzrayim, Egypt. Just forget it. The beginning of chapter 30, Hoyvonim soded in the Hashem. Woe is to you rebellious sons. Lasot eitzah, you take counsel. Velo mini. You arrive at your own conclusions, your own decisions, what to do. Velo mini, and it's not from me. Vilinsoch maseichai, you make princes upon you. And it's not according to my spirit, it's not what I want. Leman svot chatat al chatat, so therefore you add mistake upon mistake, error upon error, sin upon sin. What is the terrible sin? Havolchim lavedet Mitzrayim, those who go down to Egypt, ufi lo sho'alu, they didn't ask me. And you know why you go there? Lo'oz bima'oz paro, to have the strength of paro. He's going to be our strength. V'lachasot v'tzeil Mitzrayim, and to rest within the shade of Mitzrayim. Egypt is going to be our great ally. So you know what's going to happen? I promise you, v'hoyolachem ma'oz paro l'boshet, the strength of paro, the fortress of paro, is going to be a source of shame for you. V'hechasot v'tzeil Mitzrayim, and resting under the shade of Mitzrayim is going to be lichlima. It's going to be an embarrassment. Ki hayu b'tzoan sarav umalachov chones yagiu. Jewish representatives went to Tzoan in Mitzrayim. They went to Chones. They go running to Mitzrayim. I thought I was embarrassed earlier this week. When our president, you understand, Shenovel Mbottle, goes flying to Egypt, to Mubarak, who will not set foot in this country after 20 years of so-called peace, will not set foot. Leif Mingsam, what are they running to him for? Oh, to say goodbye as he leaves office. An embarrassment, it's a shame. They will not, they are Egypt next to Syria and the Palestinians, all three of them. Are the greatest purveyors of anti-Semitic literature in the world today. And Malay, he runs to Egypt to say goodbye. Kol Hivish, all of them will be, Rashi says, Kulam Bishuet Atzlam, they all embarrass themselves. Al Am Lo Yo Ilu. There's the key word. A people that cannot help. Lo yo ilulonga, that will not help him. Lo le'eza v'lo laho il. Not to assist and not to help. Mitzrayim can't be depended on. The same term, lo laho il, is used a number of times in Yirmiyahu when he talks about Mitzrayim. It's going to be a shanda and a harp. It's going to be a source of embarrassment. So therefore, back over here in chapter 57, when Yeshayahu says that Hashem tells the Jewish people, I will tell you what's right. Et ma'asayich, and that which you do, v'lo yo'iluch, it will not be beneficial to you, it's not going to help you. So I say, when I hear that word, and I can show you many other places in Tanakh, where the same word is used with regard specifically to Mitzrayim, and in general with regard to any other people. Hashem wants us to be the masters of our own destiny, and not and not to sort of prostrate ourselves in such an obsequious manner before nations of the world. Huh? They're pretty good. Lola Aza, very good. I should have gotten that one. That's no place for Azer to be. Very good. That's chapter 30. The two chapters, 30 and, yeah, Lola Azer the Lola Hoel. Oh, great. Bizaakeich, when you cry out, when the moment of tragedy comes, Yatziluch kibutzayich, the whole group of idols, they're the ones that are going to save you. And you know what's going to happen with all of them? Ved kulam yisor ruach, the wind will carry them away. Yikach hovel, there will be nothing. Bahachosed be, but the one who trusts in me, or do you see the same words? What, twice in chapter 30 it says, what are you going down? Lachasut b'tzeil Mitzrayim, to be under the shadow of Mitzrayim. God says, Vahachosed be, the one who sits under my shade, Yinchal Eretz, is going to inherit the earth. V'yirash har kochi, and will inherit my holy mountain. Don't place your trust in anybody. By the way, there was another key word that was used over here. Havel. 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 I'll show you right away. In that chapter 30, by the way, if we're at that chapter 30, the end of Pasuk 6 is, for the third time, Al Am Lo Yo Ilu. Chapter 30, Pasuk 6, Al Am Lo Yo Ilu. A people that can't help. Umitzrayim Hevel. Do you see the word Hevel is another code word? Nothing. Mitzrayim is Hevel Vorik Yazon. Nothing. Garnish to garnish will they help. So all of those code words are used here, which therefore leads me to believe that when we talk about idolatry and we talk about adultery, while the metaphor is true because that's what the pagans did, but in terms of the conduct of the Jewish people, it doesn't mean that we have become then an absolutely adulterous people. Our adultery expressed itself in our place of faith and trust in other nations. And the Nevi'im always spoke about two, Mitzrayim and Ashur, Egypt and Assyria. Because those were the two powers at the time of Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu. And I think, let's see, in chapter 31, yeah, that's where he it continues the same. Yeah, all right, fine. Pasuk 14. Pasuk 14. Here is where everything begins to change. Now, I know that I've said this, you're going to laugh at me. Some of the most amazing and beautiful psukim in Tanakh come here. This next pasuk is the first pasuk of the Haftarah of Yom Kippur. The Omar, the prophet says, Solu, solu, pave, pave, panu derech, clear the way, horimu michshol, pick up the obstacles, mi derech ami, from the way of my people. On chapter 57, Nun Zayin, Pasuk 14. This is the first Pasuk of the Haftorah Yom Kippur. In other words, after the Navi has spoken about the lack of faith of the Jewish people, placing their trust in others, he now says the time has come to make one's way back to God. Pave the way. Solo, solo. By the way, we had these words earlier, back in chapter 40. First of all, what's a path called? How do you say a path? Mesilah. Mesilat Yishadim. The path of the righteous. Because a mesilah is something that you pave. What is a... what's a ramp called? You remember the Romans used to build ramps up against the walls of cities in order to conquer the city. The Ella went to Matsada. All right, isn't there, what do they call it? The ramp. The Roman ramp. The Roman ramp, what? The hampa. Yeah, that's right. That's it. That's real Hebrew. Yes, it is. A hampa. Huh? Yeah. That is called in Tanakh solalah. Solalah. Because they place the earth there, and then they pave it and smooth it out so that an army can go up. And then, of course, Soleil Bonet. Soleil Bonet, the great construction company. Solu, Solu. And we had it. We definitely had it in chapter 40. Don't look yet. Let me see if I... it's got to be there. Mesila le'elokeinu. This is, he's talking about Jews are on their way back, and there's going to be Mesila le'elokeinu. That's right. Hmm? I don't know. I imagine it's... yeah, it's poetic. Yeah, here I'm ready to say that it's poetic. How do you like that? Solu, solu. That's beautiful. Just plain beautiful. Pave the road. Kanu derech. Clear the way. Harimu mikshol. Remove all the obstacles. Lift all the obstacles. Mi derech ami. Kicho amar rom v'nisa. Shochein ad v'kadoshim. I just love these children because so says the one who is high and exalted, Shochein Ab, the one who dwells forever, the Kadosh Shemo, and his name is holy. Do we know what the meaning of Kadosh is? That was at the beginning of the year we learned that Kadosh always means that God is set aside and separated in order to be close to the Jewish people. Kadosh does not mean that he is removed. Marom the Kadosh Eshkon. On high and in holiness I dwell. But do you know where I really am? I can be all the way up there. But the Dako, the one who's broken, Ushpal Ruach, the one whose spirit is low, Lahachayot Ruach Shvalim, to breathe life into the spirit of those who are lowly, Ulahachayot, and to give life, Lev Nidkaim, to the hearts of those who are broken. Here are the two faces of God. On the one hand, he is Shochinab, Marom v'kadosh shemo, and obviously this is where the Shabbos davening took it from these psukim. God is on the one hand high, exalted, raised, but do you know where he really is? He is with the downtrodden, with the lowly, the ones who are unhappy, the ones who are broken in spirit. And therefore he is making his plea to the Jewish people, we've paved the way, we've removed the obstacles. Make your way back to me. Kilola olam ariv. I'm not always going to contend with you. I'm not going to fight with you forever. Velola netzach etzov. I'm not going to be angry into eternity. Ki ruach milafonai ya'atov. Because out will come the spirit of man that has come out from before me. man's neshama comes from me. Uneshamot ani asiti. I made man's soul. And because I made man's soul, therefore I am close to him. I care about him. I'm involved with him. I'm concerned. Ba'avon bitzo katzafti. Because of the sin of bitzo over here is stealing. Because he stole katzafti. Ba'akehu. And I smote him. Haster. I concealed myself, Vektsov, and I was angry. And then Vayelech Shobav, he went rebelliously, Bederech Libo, in the way of his heart. But Derechov Raiti, I saw his way, Ve'er Po'ehu, and I healed him, Va'anchehu, and I will lead him, Va'ashalem Nichumim Lo V'Lavelov, and I will console him and his mourners. Now, you may wonder why is the sin of Gezeilah, why is that the sin that the Navi speaks about? Now, and incidentally, it's in the Ne'ilah davening on Yom Kippur. By Ne'ilah we say, God, you are merciful and compassionate, Leman nechdal me oshek yadenu, that we should stop our theft, our stealing. The Rav once asked, why is stealing, why is that pointed out in such a prominent place as the last tefillah on Yom Kippur, the last prayer, Ne'ilah? Huh? Ba'avon bitzo, posit yud zayin. Ba'avon bitzo, the sin of his theft. Betza is theft. Rashi says right over there, Gezeilato. We expressed the idea, and I'm only going to express it very, very briefly. We expressed it in a shir in Parashat HaShavua some weeks ago, or maybe 2 months ago. When the Navi here speaks about theft, he's not talking only about stealing, because stealing is bad, but there are worse events. Yeah, there are worse events. When he talks about stealing, he means every one of us, as the recipients of 3,500 years of Jewish tradition, we owe what we are to that tradition. In the event that we do not transmit it to the next generation, then we remain as people who have stolen that great tradition, because it is entrusted to us in order to transfer it to the next generation. What happens if I don't transfer it to the next generation? I hold on to it. And maybe I even cast it down. Throw it aside. So it means all of that cumulative tradition of 3,500 years, I stole it. I didn't do with it what I was supposed to do. Somebody gives me $100 to give to somebody, and I don't give them the $100. What am I? I'm a gunner. And what happens if I throw away the $100? I'm a gunner. I'm a gosman. We're talking over here about the theft of a tradition 3,500 years old. Every generation becomes the recipient and the beneficiary of that tradition. If you pass it on, then you're not a thief. If you pass it on further, then you've done exactly what you're supposed to do with it. If you don't, you're stolen. You're stolen from the generations to come. You've stolen that which was entrusted to you. This is the Gezeilah that he's talking about. And that's the great theft. The great train robbery is robbing Yiddishkeit and just not passing it on to the next generation. And this is what he's talking about here. Borei Niv Svatayim. Oh, Harlitai, that must be
years, oh, this is years ago. Before the, you remember, when was it? What was it, 89? The Madrid conference, now the Hall of Silver started 91. With it. 91. All right. So I got a call then from the, Foreign Ministry. The Prime Minister wants to know where it says Shalom, Shalom, LaRachov VeLaKarov, because he wants to use that pasuk in his speech at Madrid. So I didn't remember the exact chapter, but I knew that it was in the Haftarah of Yom Kippur. So I said, just hold the line one moment. And I was sitting in my study, I pulled out my Mazar of Yom Kippur, I mished oif, you understand, and I come to the Haftarah of Yom Kippur, and there he says, Isaiah 57. So, tell the Prime Minister it's Isaiah 57. Because I remember I came into class the next day, and I said, I have a sneaky suspicion that when the Prime Minister speaks in Madrid, he's going to quote this pasuk in Yeshayo. Mark my word, it's my Yeshama tells it. Of course, that day, that's exactly the pasuk that he ended. Shalom, shalom, to the far and to the near, peace. You know, he gave his great peace speech over there. I mean, of course, it was extremely brilliant on the part of the foreign ministry that they knew who to call. Don't take me seriously. One of the fellows working on his speech was a member of my shul. But this is one of the great psukim of Tanakh. Bodei Nitzvatayim. I create for him now the ability to speak. He's talking about the giving the sinner the ability to communicate all over again. By bringing him back, I give him that ability. And I call out, Shalom, Shalom, LaRachov VeLaKarov. God extends a hand of peace to the one who is distant and to the one who is close. Amar Hashem says, God, Urifativ, and I will heal him. The word healing is used for a second time. It was used in the pasuk before, and is used in this pasuk. It really is based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, where Yirmiyahu says, the shav, man will repent, the rafalo, and he will be healed. And the Rambam says in his 8 chapters, his introduction to Pirkei Avot, the Rambam writes, just as there are physical ailments and illnesses, so too there are spiritual and emotional and psychological illnesses and ills. And the greatest spiritual ill of all is sin. Tshuva, therefore, becomes the healing, the refuah for the illness of sin, and therefore the term of Erpa'ehu, I will heal him. Urefativ. So God is going to open up the lines of communication again with the sinner, and he extends his hands in peace. And to whom does he extend it first? LaRachov, to the one who is distant. The one who is karov, I can always talk to. But the one who is distant, God goes out there to be mekarev, to bring close those who are distant. Vavarashoyim, the evil, who don't listen to the call, who are not ready to accept it, whose ears are closed, who don't want to enter into dialogue with God. Kayom nigrosh. He is tempestuous like the sea. How do they translate it in your...
Turbulent.
Huh?
Turbulent.
Oh, that's good. Turbulent like the sea. The sea always seems to want to smash against the earth, but this nature has created, God created, you know, up until here will the sea go and not further. The Rosha always seems to want to embrace
and conquer a whole world. But there's something standing in the way. You'll never succeed. Kayom nidrash, he is turbulent like the sea. Ki hashkeit lo yuchal. He can't be silent. He can't be at peace. The passions that churn within him create that inner turbulence. Vayigdishu meimav. And what have the turbulence of his waters given out? Refesh batit, dirt and mud. Ein shalom amar elokai l'rishoim. The Pasuk before had said that God extends his hand, shalom, shalom, l'rachot v'l'karov. He extends it to everybody and it's open to everybody. And by the way, the road is clear already. Solu, solu, tanu derech, horinu mishomi derech. The way is clear. God has made certain that it will be so. But the Rosha, ein shalom, amar Hashem, amar Elokai, l'rishayim. To the evil, those who refuse to listen, those who refuse to listen to the word of God, for them there is no peace. Therefore, the Navi says, God says to the Navi, Krobigaron, cry out with your throat. Cry out in a loud voice. Al tachsok, don't withhold your voice. Kashofar horein kolecha, lift your voice like a shofar. The hageid la'ani pisham, and tell my people their sin. Ule beit Yaakov chatotam, and to beit Yaakov the errors of their ways. Fascinating, of course, is at the same time that God talks about Pisham, their rebelliousness and their sin, he calls them Ami, they are my people. Va'oti yom yom yidroshim, they seek me out every day. What the Navi is going to be describing in this pasuk is that while it may seem as though there is a seeking out of God, it's not real. It's not genuine. They leave the impression as Oti Yom Yom Yidroshim, they seek me out every day. V'da'ata rochai yechepotzon, and they want to know the way in which I want them to go. Kidgoy asher tzedakah, so they act like a people that does righteousness, u'mishpat elokav lo azav, and has not forsaken the laws of his God. Yishaluni, they ask me, Mishpatei Tzedek, what is the judgment of righteousness? Kirvat Elokim Yechvatzun, they want the closeness of God. They seem to want it. They seem to be seeking it. And therefore they cry out, Lomotsamnu Veloroita, why did we fast and you didn't see? Ininu Nafshenu, we have tortured our souls. Remember, this is being read on Yom Kippur, which is the Yom Tzom, the day of fasting. It's the day of ta'aneh et nafshotechem. In a sense, you should torture or withhold yourself from pleasure. And sort of with a sense of self-righteousness, the people asked, why did we fast and you didn't see? Ininu nafshenu. We went ahead and we tortured ourselves. For lo teda, you don't even know. So Hashem says, nah. Even on the day of your fasting, you go out there to find what it is you want to do. You keep acting the same way. The only difference between the day of fasting and another day is you're fasting on that day, but you go after the same things. And all of those whom you depress, people whom you cause pain to, you continue to pressure them even on the day of fast. The day of fast does not become a day in which you make a decision to change your conduct. It's a day like any other day, and the only thing that's happened is that you're fasting. Arguing and struggle, that's what goes on the day of your fast. Ulahakot be'egrof rosha, with a fist of evil, you smite your fellow Jew. Lo tatsumu kayom. You don't fast the way you're supposed to fast. on Yom Kippur, lahashmiya babaron kolchem, so that your voice should indeed be heard above. Hachosei yetzom evchrevizah, so those powerful words in all of the prophets. Is this the fast that I have chosen? Yom anot adam nashod, do you think it's no more than a day on which a man afflicts himself? Halachov ki agmon rosho, you'll bend your head like the reed. V'sak v'eifa yatsia, and you put out sackcloth and ashes. Halozet tikratzom, is this what you call a fast day? V'yom ratzom l'Hashem, and a day that's going to be accepted by God? All that you have done is you have the outer trappings. It looks like a fast day. But there's been no change whatsoever that's taking place within you. Sure, you'll fast and you'll wear sackcloth and you'll put ashes and you'll bow and you'll bend and you'll scrape. Halozet tzom et choreyu. This is the fast that I choose. Pateach chartzubot resha. Open up the ropes of evil. Hatir agudot mota. Loosen the yoke of a fellow man. V'shalach ritzutzim chavshi, and send people who are broken in spirit, send them free. V'chol mota tenatehu, and every yoke of man over fellow, every fellow man, break it, destroy it. Halo paros laroiv lachmecha, go and spread your bread out for the hungry. That's what I want you to do. Va'aniyim merudim, the poor who are broken and lowly, who groan and ache, tavid bayit, bring them into your house. Ki tireh arom, if you see somebody who's naked, v'chisito, you should cover him. Umibsorcha lo titalom, and you should not look aside from your own flesh and blood. Unbelievable possible. Because the Navi knows that the same person who may very well be concerned about every unfortunate individual very often couldn't care less about people in his own family. And most probably he has a brother or a sister that he hasn't talked to for the last 30 years. A big Baal Tzedak and a big Baal Chesed does all sorts of things. Umibsorcha lo titalom, the Gemara learns from this that there's a special responsibility a person has to members of his family, those who are your own flesh and blood. You cannot look aside. And wait a minute, you can't break the spell over here. If that's going to be your fast day, oz yibaka kashakar orecha, then your light is going to burst out like the morning. And your healing will speedily grow. Then your righteousness will go before you. The glory of God will gather you in. Oz tikra, if that's going to be your fast, then you will call out to God, and he will answer. Tishaveya, you will cry out, V'yoma, and you know how God is going to respond to our cry? Hineini. What a beautiful pasuk. In tosir mitochecha mota. Third time we have this word. If you will remove from yourself mota, the yoke. Now the fact is that human beings hold all sorts of yokes over fellow human beings. It doesn't have to be a wooden yoke. We have all sorts of ways in which we can bend, influence, and often break fellow human beings psychologically and emotionally. We hold something over them. I mean, that this is a story of the human psyche. When the Navi is talking here about breaking the yoke that you hold upon others, doesn't mean that somebody's walking around with a yoke, or the old man and the hoe bowed by the weight of centuries. People have all sorts of ways in which they,
those who verbally...
What we're talking about over here is, if we want to really express it in contemporary terms, we're talking about abuse. The Navi is talking about abuse. Men who abuses fellow man. Lahakote grof desha. Doesn't necessarily have to mean that I suck somebody with the fist of evil. I abuse somebody. I can abuse somebody verbally. I can abuse somebody emotionally. There's so many ways in which we sort of, you know, our heavy yoke lies upon others who are around us. The Navi is talking about everything. He's not just talking about, the Emancipation Proclamation and sending the slaves free or anything of that sort. There are all sorts of subtle and not so subtle, evil and not so intentional ways in which we abuse fellow human beings. And in most cases, the ones closest to us are the ones most abused. And therefore, the Navi says, "We besocha altis alem." Don't ever forget about those who are closest to you. Oz tikra them, pasuk 9. Then you will call Hashem Yane. Then God will answer. Tishavar, you will cry out to Yomah, and He will say, "Hineni." In tosir mitochchom motah, if you remove that yoke from within you, shlach etzba, if you remove from you. Shlach etzba. There are times that just with a finger, the pointing of a finger, we already cause pain to fellow human beings. Or daber oven, we speak and say things that are evil. You know what you have to do? V'tafek lo ra'ev nafshecha. Give your soul to the one who is hungry. Now earlier it had said, pareutz lo ra'ev lachmecha, give your bread to the hungry. There it was talking about providing for his physical needs. Over here it's talking about providing for his emotional needs. Tofek l'roi, give your soul to the one who's hungry. And Rashi says, b'tanchumei devarim tovim, console him with good words. Here we're talking about the emotional hurt and the emotional pain. If you've given him the bread that he needs, if you've given him the clothing, but a human being needs more than bread and needs more than clothing. The nefesh nana, and the soul of the one who is in pain, tazbiah, save him. You save his body with bread, but you're going to save his nefesh with a relationship of warmth, of caring, of being concerned. And then you know what's going to be? Here the blessing is even greater. When you provide him with his physical needs, it said, your light is going to break out like the morning. Ozivaka posik 8. Ozivaka kashachar orecha. Like the morning, your light is going to break out. Now it says even more. Vezorach bachoshech orecha. Even in the midst of darkness, your light is going to shine. Va'afelotcha, and when it's black for you, you know what it's going to become? It's going to be katsohadayim, like the middle of the day, the bright, brilliant middle of the day. So that he's taking us two great steps. Or talk about what's happened over here is the Navi says people don't understand. Why do we fast and God doesn't answer? We call to Him. Makes no difference. So the Navi says, because your fast day is nothing more than a formal fast day, which does not represent a change in your conduct. Do you know what kind of change in conduct God wants? He wants you to be like Him. How did the chapter describe God at the beginning? He's shochein ad, He's ram v'nisa, He's high and He's exalted. But with whom is He? Despite the fact that He's so exalted, He's with the downtrodden, the ones who are broken, in order to give life to them. That's what He wants of you. If your fast day is going to be nothing than a formal external one, nothing is going to change. But if you're going to break the yokes of suffering upon the downtrodden, the poor, the hungry. You should know, sometimes one may be very wealthy in financial terms, doesn't necessarily mean that one is wealthy emotionally. The emotional hand that you extend to somebody can be to anybody. We're not talking about necessarily the underprivileged, you can come into homes where kids have everything, and it's not enough for them. You come into homes where they have very little, and they appreciate everything they have. In one house, well, you know, you didn't find me a car for my 16th birthday, and the whole the place is falling apart at the seams. You come into another home, and you know, any little thing that you give a child, and the child is, somebody once told my wife, I don't know, what can I do for my children? I'll buy them a white Cadillac, it still won't be enough. Okay, my kids, thank God, they know I can't do it, so. So there's providing for one's physical needs, and there is providing for one's emotional needs. V'nochacho Hashem tamid, God will lead you constantly. V'hizbia b'tzachzachot nafshecha. Tzachzachot means when it's dry, arid, drought, not enough water. He will sate your soul. V'atzmotecha yachalitz, and he will strengthen your bones. And v'ayita k'gan roveh, you're going to be like a fruitful or a growing garden, ukimotz amayin, like a stream from which water comes out, ashalo yichazmu yichazmu neimav, whose waters will never disappoint. We should understand what these psukim mean. Ubonu mincha karvot olam, and they will build from you that which was destroyed forever will be rebuilt. Moste dor vador to komein. You will raise and rebuild the foundations of generation after generation. Remember, how did I explain Parvon Bitzo at the beginning, the sin of theft? The sin of theft is by not carrying things from one generation to the next. But now you will build foundations of the generation, the Kodalacha, Goder Peretz. You will be called the one who builds and closes in the breach of the wall. Mishoveiv Nisivot Lashovet, the one who returns those who stray from the path, Lashovet, so that they should return and be with God, and that they can settle and create a beautiful world. I'm just going to read the next two psukim, which are the last two psukim of the chapter. There's so much to be said about it. In Toshet Mishabas Raglecha, Asot Chafatzecha B'yom Kodshi, if you will turn your legs back from working on the Shabbos, from doing things on my holy day, the Karosal Shabbos Oneg, and you will call Shabbos a day of delight, L'Gedosh Hashem Yichubad, that is dedicated to the Holy One, the Honorable God, the Chivadeton, you will honor that day. May I sot the Rachecho from doing that which you would normally do. Mimitzochevzecha, the Daber Tova, from going about your own business and even speaking things that are called. This is unbelievable. There's so many halachas on this pasuk, and the Gemara says, the Chivadeto ze Yom HaKippurim. This is Yom Kippur. If you will do that, in other words, a whole perek is talking about Beinado Machavero, between men and fellow men. And now at the end, he comes to the relation between God, the men, and God. You remember I said at the beginning of the chapter, the word Oneg represents the relation with God. He will cause you to ride al bamatei oretz, on the high places of the world. He will give you the inheritance of your father Yaakov. God has spoken so. To be continued. Guten Summer. And we have... I'll get rid of this cough during the summer. And I just want you to give
your attention for a moment to Ruth Fogelman.
Thank you. I used to come to, I know many of you from Rabbi Gold's classes, but I used to come to very regularly between 1990 and 1997. And in the spirit of giving back to Rabbi Gold from the fruit of his hand, I would like to quote a little something, a little excerpt from my book, which was published this last week, Within the Walls of Jerusalem. And this is from a letter that was written in April 96. So it's just after Pesach. There are many small things that go into the neshama, more than great displays, said Rabbi Shalom Gold in a talk he gave a couple of weeks before Pesach, pointing out the far greater impact of being an active participant than a witness. We don't sit back and witness a Seder, but participate in it. He pointed out what an amazing educational tool the Seder is. Firstly, it's based on questions and answers. Secondly, we use all five senses. One, we see the symbols on the Seder plate. Two, we listen to the meanings of the matzah and maror and shank bone, symbolizing the Pesach sacrifice. We hold them up for all to see, the sense of touch. We taste the matzah and maror, and even smelling the maror, fresh horseradish, can hear your sinuses from its inside. I don't know if there is any other religious experience that engages all our senses. Thirdly, the leader of the Seder doesn't ask the participants to do anything he does not do himself. And as every parent and teacher knows, children follow what we do much more than what we say. The leader, as much as anyone around the table, has the mitzvah of eating great amounts of matzah and maror. Fourthly, the Haggadah tells what happened to us, inclusive of the leader and all Jewish participants, bringing the distant past into our own experience. Four, as the Haggadah puts it, we need to see ourselves as if it were we who were brought out of Egypt.
Tada Rabba, thank you very much. We have the authoress, Ruth Fogelman, Within the Walls of Jerusalem, A Personal Perspective. Ruth, thank you very much. And
for this piece and others, you can see Rabbi Gold in the index.
Thank you very, very much. I would also suggest, maybe you should run to your local bookstore.
It'll be in the stores next week.
Next week. So don't run immediately. Wait till next week to get it.
I'll give out my copies before I start running to the store. That's more important.
Thank you very, very much, Ruth. I really appreciate it.
I have a couple of copies with you.
Okay.